God has definitely blessed America. Prophesied in Daniel, raised up a movement that would take the three angels' messages around the world. Praise God for his blessings. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we bow before you with thankful hearts this morning, for we still have the freedoms to be able to gather and to worship in your name. We marvel at the way you have blessed America. And we just thank you so much how you bless each one of us. As we continue to turn towards you for guidance, Lord, we ask for thy spirit today as we open the word and as we come to thy table, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and our lives, that this won't be just form, but will be something that we experience fresh and new with you, is our prayer in thy holy name. Amen. Happy Sabbath! Almost forgot. So good to see you all today. You know, today in the environment that we live in, with so many points of view coming out and so easily accessible through multimedia today, a question can come up often: which way's up? What is right? What is truth? How do we know that? And you can get as many different answers nearly as there are people out there, because each one tends to determine the answer to that from what they observe, from their perspective in the world, from even what news media you watch or what you read, what you do. There are so many different things coming on that affect us. And the only way for there to be any agreement, and I would like to propose even the only way we can be correct, is if we have the right point of reference. For the universe, for entire creation, I humbly submit that God's throne is that point of reference. So the question then becomes, where are you today in relation to his will, to his center? And then knowing his and your position, you can then calculate which way is up. Because there's two systems in this world operating. There is two points of reference. There's the Garden of Eden, and there's a jungle of thorns and thistles. There's a universal law of God, the law of love, and there's a law of the demonic, the law of the claw and tooth. And friends, all of nature was created to serve, to give, to live in order to bless something else. And nothing but the selfish heart of man lives for itself. Our ego value system is based on one of these two ecosystems. Let's take our Bibles and turn to today's text for a few minutes. As we consider this, let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. This is now the time where Jesus is about to go through his Last Supper. And as we know, not only were the disciples all vying for each other, but actually the Zebedee's boys got the mother involved to come and try to persuade Jesus to put the brothers in a position of authority in the kingdom that they thought was coming. Verse 25 now, Jesus called them unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whatsoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So Jesus here is pointing out two totally different value systems. We have the earthly rule, the dominant, and we have those who serve, love. And they couldn't be further apart from each other. Yet, we find them today especially intermingled, should we say. What may appear as self-sacrifice could actually be an attempt at domination for self-importance. Because in this world, sadly, no individual has motives that are totally unmixed. Because we live in a planet that's no longer Eden. And so many people have learned to behave or survive by observing the jungle. Nature alone was now inadequate since it's been distorted by the fall, since sin has come in. So God sent His Son into the world to give us a correct point of reference, an example that we all need, as He lived out and paid our penalty so we, through His grace and love, can find eternal life. And Jesus contrasted these two value systems again, this dominance versus service, when He ate the Last Supper with His disciples that Thursday night before His crucifixion. Over 3 years with Jesus, and they still had the problem. They were still looking for first place, operating on an ego system that was ruining how they dealt with each other, even in those precious moments. Jesus observed with great disappointment. His disciples still didn't get it. They're refusing to serve even one another. So Jesus became their servant. And we refer to this act as the humiliation of Christ. He humbled Himself. We'll look into that at another time, because that has a deep meaning in itself. But by which value system did He humble Himself? By their value system, not His. Because never was Jesus more great than when He washed the disciples' feet. By heaven's value system, He was great. This was not an act of humility as much as it was an act of exaltation, if you have the right value system. Because it's a value system that caused Him to follow on and to humble Himself and to become obedient even unto death. Even the death of the cross for our salvation. It revealed the vast greatness of the love of God. To go from being the King of the universe and the Creator to step down and even to go far down as He can go to be the servant washing the feet of His own disciples. A job that was usually relegated to the lowest of the lowest of the slaves. So, which way is up? Jesus tells us, and He shows us, that the way up is when we wash each other's feet, bending down, to become a servant to one another. None greater, none lesser. We're all equal. If you turn to John chapter 13, starting in verse 12. So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I've done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. For verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, what does the last say? Happy are ye if you do them. Can you always be happy in following the Lord? You can never go wrong with that. I would like to read from the inspired pen here, Manuscript 43, 1897. She writes, The ordinance of feet washing is an ordinance of service. This is the lesson the Lord would have all learn and practice. When this ordination is rightly celebrated, the children of God are brought into holy relationship with each other to help and bless each other. That His people might not be misled by the selfishness which dwells in the natural heart and which strengthens by self-serving, Christ Himself set us an example of humility. He would not leave this great subject in man's charge. Of so much consequence did He regard it that He Himself, one equal with God, washed the feet of His disciples. This ceremony means much to us. God would have us take the whole scene, not only the single act of outward cleansing. This lesson does not merely refer to the one act. It is to reveal the great truth that Christ is an example of what we, through His grace, are to be in our interaction with each other. It shows the entire life should be one of humble, faithful ministry. The ordinance of feet washing most forcibly illustrates the necessity of true humility. While the disciples are contending for the highest place in the promised kingdom, Christ girded himself and performed the office of a servant by washing the feet of those who call him Lord. He, the pure, spotless Lamb of God, was presenting himself as a sin offering. And as he now ate the Passover with his disciples, he put an end to the sacrifices which for 4,000 years had been offered. In the place of the national festival which the Jewish people had observed, he instituted a memorial service in the ceremony of feet washing and the sacramental supper to be observed by his followers through all time and in every country. These should ever repeat Christ's act, that all may see that true service called for unselfish ministry. In this ordinance, Christ discharged his disciples from the cares and burdens of ancient Jewish obligations in rites and ceremonies. These no longer possessed any virtue. If his disciples had not needed this, it would not have been left for them as Christ's last established ordinance in connection with and including the Last Supper. It was Christ's desire to leave to his disciples an ordinance that would do for them the very thing they needed, that they would serve to disentangle them from the rites and ceremonies which had hitherto engaged in as essential and which the reception of the gospel made no longer of any force. To continue these rites would be an insult to Jehovah. Eating of the body and drinking of the blood of Christ, not merely at the sacramental service, but daily partaking of the bread of life to satisfy the soul's hunger, would be in receiving his word and doing his will. Close quote. Powerful thoughts, isn't it? How rarely we think about what foot washing entails, and to instill it into our hearts and our lives, to remember day by day, every day, not just here when we have communion. We need the heart of Christ, where self is dead and only he lives within us, so that through his power we become with an attitude of a servant, encouraging one another, helping one another. And through his character alive within you, your light shines and God is glorified. So I praise God that he has given us, in his immaculate wisdom, an act that we can follow to break down our pride and to realize that serving even one another is in serving Jesus Christ. So I pray as we go into this, you will humble your hearts and realize the depth of this act that Jesus said we should follow as we prepare then to come to his table. I do want to let you know that at Seventh-day Adventists, we have open communion. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you don't have to be a member of the church. You can partake of our communion. So we welcome you as Jesus does. Isn't it wonderful what the Lord has done? We want not only smiles on our faces, we want smiles from our soul out, from our heart out. We have so much to be thankful for what God has done for us and continues to do for us moment by moment. We praise God for his goodness. And as we come to his table now, we have the opportunity to not only follow in what Jesus and his disciples did, but to celebrate and to internalize Jesus' sacrifice for you. Make it personal. For me. For each one of us. For sometimes we get so used to saying it or thinking that aspect, but to take a moment and contemplate your name. Like that song goes, well, he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Beautiful song. And if we could only live with that internalized moment by moment, day by day, what a change it would be in our life. Not only in how we let our light shine and that smile will be on your face all the time because God lives within you, but also in realizing that fact, it will change your very character. Because suddenly self has no room. Only the character and the love of God will fill you because Jesus died for you. And the depth of that, we will go through eternity trying to understand. Well, God himself would come down not only to be the servant, but also to be the sacrificial lamb to pay for my sin and your sin. And only through him, the only way through to eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the grace and the free offering he's given every human being. It is no small thing. It is immense. So today, as we come to the table and follow Jesus' example, may these emblems bring anew into your heart the depth of the sacrifice of the God, Jesus Christ, came down and gave for you. There's nothing else like it. There's no other opportunity on the planet or in time equal to come into the Lord's Supper. So I pray today that it will touch our hearts and our lives, and we'll go from here not only closer together, remembering that we've gone through following Christ and leveling the playing field, so to speak, and how we deal with each other, and a good reminder for that, but to recognize the Son of God died for me. It's amazing. Just hold that one thought and pray over that. Spend an hour in prayer, maybe this afternoon, maybe tonight, contemplating what that means to you. And may you connect with him in such a way that his spirit will change you from that point on. So at this time, Brother Sherm here will read from 1 Corinthians and have the blessing upon the bread. And then Brother David will read also and pray and have the blessing upon the wine as we follow Jesus in this supper.
1 Corinthians 11:23-24. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Shall we pray? Father, you came to this earth, humbled yourself to be like us. We don't understand this fully, not at all, hardly. But you gave us an example that we should serve one another as you have come to serve us. So in recognition of that, we partake of your communion today and the foot washing. Help us to think not on ourselves, but of those for whom you died. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And I will be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, the life is in the blood, and Jesus shed his blood that we might live. He gave his life for us, Lord. Each and every time that we bring the cup to our lips, Lord, help to remind us of the price that was paid for our salvation. The fact that we can see you face to face someday, Lord, is such an encouragement. Help us not to take it lightly, but to incorporate it into the very most inner parts of our being, that we might glorify you. For everything is for your glory, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
As the lesson of the preparatory service is thus learned, the desire is kindled for a higher spiritual life. To this desire, the divine witness will respond. The soul will be uplifted. We can partake of the communion with the consciousness of sins forgiven. The sunshine of Christ's righteousness will fill the chambers of the mind and the soul temple. We behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. To those who receive the spirit of this service, it can never become a mere ceremonial. Its constant lesson will be, by love, serve one another. In washing the feet of his disciples, Christ gave evidence that he would do any service, however humble, that would make them heirs with him in the eternal wealth of the heaven's treasure. His disciples, in performing the same rite, pledged themselves in like manner to serve their brethren. Whenever this ordinance is rightly celebrated, the children of God are brought into holy relationship to help and to bless each other. What a joy it is to be a part of the family of God. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." He said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sin." The communion service points to Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of the disciples, for whenever they meet together to commemorate his death, they recounted how he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And in their tribulation they found comfort in the hope of the Lord's return. How true, how true. We cannot wait to be with Jesus at that table where he will once again lift the cup and we can join him. That is our prayer today, that we will all be there by his glory. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, what an honor and a privilege it is to follow in your footsteps. Footsteps of Jesus that he set forth this Last Supper. From the washing of feet, reminding us that we are not one better than another. That strikes deep at the heart of pride. And Lord, teaches us to be a servant one to another. And Lord, because of that great example you set, then we can come all at the same level to thy table. And to be reminded by the emblems of your great sacrifice that purchased our choice for salvation or to refuse it. Lord, it is an incredible love that would set forth such a power of choice before your created beings. Lord, may we never cheapen that. I pray that we will so willfully and fully surrender ourselves and take advantage of that free choice, that we will take of thy sacrifice. And because of you, you will wrap your robe of righteousness upon us so that we can enter thy gate. And so, Lord, we pray that as we go from this table today, the joy will be in our hearts of sin forgiven, of salvation obtained because of the gift of Jesus Christ. So bless each one, we pray. We thank you for this. In thy most holy name we pray. God's people say, amen. And don't forget, we do have a Good Samaritan offering on your way out. So if you'd like to give to that, let's bow our heads. Father, again, we thank you for your goodness. Draw us nearer to you today. We thank you for the opportunity to come to this very special table with you. Touch our hearts as we go forth, we pray. In thy holy name, amen.